The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor van Vuren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
Before we jump into today's message, have you been enjoying these podcast episodes from The Daily Witness? Would you like more? Consider subscribing to The Daily Witness on YouTube for video content and for our Wednesday evening live streams, which takes place at 6:30. We also stream for the Telegram app at the same time. For word, quotes, ministry updates and more, follow us on social media. The Daily Witness is on X, Instagram, and Threads. Faith is what connects us to the Father. So remember, faith comes by hearing. So keep on hearing.
The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 6, "Let him that receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." Trevor van Vuren Ministries now has Yoko as a payment portal for safe and secure transactions, both for national and international givers. So if you'd like to tithe into this ministry, or you'd like to sow a financial seed, head on over to our website www.thedailywitness.co.za and click on the Giving tab. All contributions that are received goes into furthering the gospel by reaching the lost and training people to live by faith.
All right, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Oh, we're so blessed. We are absolutely blessed to come join you and to come sit in your presence. We wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit tonight. Thank you, Father, that we are full to overflowing. Let the word come out of our mouths, unhindered by any satanic force. Let it flow and penetrate the hearts of people, and let it change them forever. Father, we thank you for your help tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for inspired speech. And we bless you. Think through our minds and speak through our vocal cords. Let the word not return void, but let it prosper. Let people's hearts be changed forever. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're going back to our series. How important is it to know Him? We're talking about the intimacy of God. So, if you got your Bibles, flip over to John chapter 17, verse 3, and that's our opening text. John chapter 17, verse 3.
And what's our series called again? Intimacy with God.
Yeah. And I'm going to read our text. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And you know, we've done the audio podcast. This is the first time we're actually recording video on this. This word, to know thee, comes from the Greek word gnosko. And that is talking about getting to know God by experience. You know, a lot of people can quote one or two scriptures, but they don't actually know Him. They've actually never, ever had any form of experience with Him whatsoever. And if you talk to them and you tell them, "Wow, you know, I had this experience or I had that experience, it's supernatural," they'll frown on you. And they'll look at you as if you're the weird one. But you know what's the reality? We should look at them as if they're the weird ones. Because you've had all this time here on earth, and how come you haven't experienced Him yet?
And what does God call us? Peculiar people.
Peculiar people. So that is what it means to have eternal life. That's what it means when you get born again. You get to have that intimacy with Him. You can actually have a wonderful experience with him. Lots of testimonies, and we've gone through that. Now, I've prayed about this message in particular tonight, and he said to me, tonight I want you to talk about my love for the people. This is an area that is so crucial, and I find that so many people actually don't know about the love of God. They actually don't understand it. If you talk to them, you mention the topic of love, they'll tell you, no, I know God loves me. Yeah, I know God loves me. That's on a very superficial level. It's on an intellectual level only. It's not by experience. And how can you tell? Here's the litmus test. When the pressure shows up. When the hard times come. You know what's the first prayer? Those same people that say, I know God loves me. They're the same one. Oh, God, why are you letting me go through this? You know, where are you? I've prayed, man. Yeah, I've prayed. I've prayed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
You go, oh, must not be God's will.
That's not saying that you know that how much God loves you. You don't. Because why are you sweating? So, what is it that we should know about him? Who is he? Some people say he's God. It's not a good enough answer. If you actually know him, you can speak about him from your heart and you can do it confidently. And that's what he wants. David understood that. And you know what God said? There's a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
Let's flip over to 1 John. Man, I tell you what, love is so, so, so crucial to your faith. Faith works by love. And if you don't know how much God loves you, and I'm not talking about up here, I'm talking about in here. Man, I tell you what, your mountains will become little molehills. Just like that. So let's flip over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we're actually getting into the crux of this now. This is actually a really good series, and I highly advise that you go back and listen to part 1 and 2. It's all on our YouTube channel. And then from here on out, if the video comes out fine, we got Francois there as the cameraman. He's manning our cameras tonight. Thank you, Francois. And you'll be able to watch this again. 1 John chapter 4, and look at verse 7 and look at verse 8. And he starts off and he says, Beloved, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Beloved, look how he addresses you. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Because I got a revelation on this, I just put you in brackets right after that where it says, and knows God, I said, as love. Knows God as love. Let's read the next verse. He that loves not doesn't know God. And watch how he ends this. For God is love. Now, let's just flip down to verse 16 of that same chapter. And he says, And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Watch this. God is love. God is love. Now, you've probably heard this in circles. You've probably heard people quote the scripture. But it's not down in their heart, so it doesn't come out in power. So let's break that down a little bit. I want you to realize something here. God doesn't have love. Can we just pause on that?
Yes.
God doesn't have love. You see, here's the mistake that we make. We like to separate the person from the emotion. This is not emotion. You get a love that is emotional. This is not an emotion. God is not an emotion. He is love. If you look at the Greek word, which we refer to as love, you know, as a husband has for his wife.
Yeah, lots of love.
You call that philia. But this here, God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. You've got to meditate on that. You've got to sit and ponder on that, and you've got to make that your reality. You've got to come to terms with God is love. You can even say it like this: love is God.
I remember years ago when I got saved, Trevor would read the scriptures to me, and he'd always say, where you see the word God,
yeah,
change it to love. So every time you read, it says, in the beginning was God. It's in the beginning was love.
Yeah.
I mean, it changes the whole dynamic of that scripture when you start changing the word God, because it seems so impersonal. But when you say love, it really, really digs deep into his nature, who he is. It's what makes him who he is. And you get an essence of that when you start reading love instead of God.
Yeah.
Because you still told me years ago, you said, God is his title, love is his name.
Yeah. His name isn't God.
Yeah.
That's not his name. He has faith, but he is love. You can actually pray to him like this: Heavenly love.
Yeah.
Because that's who he is. That's him. That's the core. That's where we get our love from. And it spills over into emotions and so forth and so on. But this kind of love operates by faith, and it's not dependent on emotions at all. If, just to help you, because I know you've got to really lock your mind onto this to really catch it. Say you're dating someone, and I mean, you've been with them now for, say, 3 months, and they did something stupid. I mean, really stupid. What's the first thing that happens? You get angry. You're like, I'm going to show them. I'm not going to answer my phone. In fact, my phone's going to go on silent. That's not love. That's emotion. That's why you can mess up and he still loves you. Because his love for you is based on him. It's not based on emotion. So when you screw up, he doesn't get angry, because it's got nothing to do with emotion. It's got to do with him. It's all done by faith. Give you a better idea? Let's have a look at this now. You see this, God is love. You see this throughout Scripture. The overall message of the Bible is about a loving God. It's why the same author refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved in John chapter 13, verse 23. He's the one, he got it, he got it. He got a revelation that God is love. We're talking about intimacy with God, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one at the Last Supper where he was leaning on Jesus.
Yeah.
Because he knew that he was loved.
Man, you can't get any closer to God than understanding how much he loves you. And I can tell you all day long, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But you know what? You got to see this stuff in action, man. It just makes a difference. As we were reading through the Old Covenant, we saw some stuff. And I actually spent some time, I was talking to the Lord about this last night, and I mean, yes, this is my notes here. I want to say this. The biggest problem Christians face today is not the devil. You get around Christians and then they say, the devil's attacking me, eh? You know, he's up to this, he's up. Everything is the devil. It's not your...
Thanks for giving him so much power.
Yeah. He's defeated, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I actually said that in my notes. He's defeated, so it can't be him. He's not your biggest problem. And it's certainly not God. So the only other person is you. And you know what it is? It's because we don't know that God is love. We don't know that love is God.
Mm-hmm.
And it costs us dearly. people are trying to use their faith without knowing that God is absolutely smitten with them.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, it's like trying to get an old cold steel machine to work. And you hear the frustration in the people's heart and their mind, and they're telling you they're going through some really, really tough times and so forth. And where's God? Where's God? This is Christians. I'm talking about Christians saved 10 years, 15 years. They can pray in the Holy Ghost and everything. It's costing them dearly. Some of them, it's costing them in their health. It's costing them in their finances. It's costing them in their marriages. Mm-hmm. And the list just goes on and on and on. The children of Israel made that same mistake. They never knew that He loved them. So because they didn't believe that He loved them, they just kept tripping up and getting into sin over and over. Let's flip over quickly to Psalm 100. Flip with me to Psalm 100, and we're going to take a trip down memory lane.
Isn't it interesting that there's such a comparison between the Israelites and the church today?
Yeah. Psalm 100, and look at verse 5. We're looking at the nature of God. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations. I think the Amplified Classic says it better. Now, the Israelites, they kept saying, why did God bring us into this wilderness to die? And they said this after He already delivered them from Egypt. And might I add up, He wiped out their enemies right in front of them. And yet they still complained. You know why? They didn't believe that He loved them. Now I want you to see what He had to put up with. And I want you to measure yourself against what they did to Him. Ask yourself if you're doing the same thing. Because, you know, we are quick to point to the children of Israel and say, oh, they did this, they did that. And we're doing the exact same thing today.
Exactly.
So that's why I say, don't be so quick to point fingers. Have a look and see if you're doing the same thing. You can go to Exodus chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 18. Exodus chapter 5. And then we're just going to highlight the rest. But, you know, when you go through the scriptures, I'll just let you catch up there quickly. And you look at the history and you see God in action. Man, you can see the love that God had for these people, despite how they were. So that's why I say, you know, I can tell you all day long, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, but until you actually see for yourself, because Ephesians says that you can know the love of God. Watch this, the height of His love. You can know the depth of His love. You can know the length of His love. You can know the breadth of His love. Can you imagine what that will do to your faith? Haven't you ever wondered? How is it that some people have got great faith and miracles just seem to follow them, and other people can barely believe themselves out of a wet paper sack? Is it because God is favoring some and He's giving others a hard time? No.
Because He's no respecter of persons.
No, it's because you get around those people, they'll tell you how much God loves them. And man, you'll hear the confidence in their voice. And they'll just have a big smile. I mean, I can tell you some experiences myself, and it does something to you. We're talking about knowing God by experience. He sang to me. I heard His voice. Man, it was a biblical song as well. But that's what we're talking about. I'm convinced God loves me. When he comes and takes the people, I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm number one. You know, someone might say, wow, that's arrogance. No, I know he loves me.
You realize it means we're both going at the same time.
You just had to slip that in there. Yeah. Okay, so let's have a look at our Father in action. And we're talking about God loves you the whole time. Let's actually see what it looks like in Scripture so that you can be convinced. Mm. So that you can talk to others and say, I know the depth of his love. I know the height of his love. I know the length of his love. I know the breadth of his love. I know God loves me. That's where God wants you to be. And guess what? There is literally millions of his kids worldwide that don't know that. They come into the earth. They will die, and they'll come into heaven. Make no mistake. But I've always said this. When they get there, they're going to fall flat. I mean, I said on their knees, but...
on their face.
Yeah, they'll fall flat on their face. They'll cry. And it won't be out of fear, and it won't be out of horror. They'll just be wiping the tears. I didn't know. I didn't know that you loved me like this. I didn't know. You missed out on how much he loved you while you were on the earth. This is the rotten year now, man. This is where you need to know. Yeah. When fear comes up against you, man, I tell you what, fear is a curse, man. Jesus redeemed you from that curse. You should never, ever put up with fear. And I tell you what, I can feel at times when it tries to come on me, but on the outside, I just talk to it. Jesus says, talk to your mountain. I say, fear, get off of me. It's a slave. Get off of me in the name of Jesus. I know I'm loved. Okay. That was good. Let's look at Exodus chapter 5, verse 18. And we're going to look through to the end of that chapter. And this is... the children of Israel, they were still in Egypt, of course, and here comes Moses. God sent Moses to deliver his people. Why did he do that? He loved them. Man, these people were the chosen people, but they were slaves, being beaten up. They got to do everything. So, of course, you know the story. Moses goes in and he talks to Pharaoh, and God told Moses, listen, I'm going to harden the guy's heart. Moses wasn't ready for it. So let's listen to this. Read with me. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet you shall deliver the tale of bricks. So they were getting straw before, but now they've got to go and get the straw, and they must make the same quota that they were making before. I tell you that's pressure. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. After it was said, you shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily work. And they met Moses and Aaron who stood in the way, and they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said to him, the Lord look upon you. Remember, they cross now. The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. In other words, who do you think you are? You made us look bad in front of Pharaoh. They think that they're right. In the meantime, God sent Moses. And yeah, it's not going to be pretty at first. Now our Savior is abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned to the Lord. He kept quiet, you know. I mean, what do you say in a time like that? He went to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore have you so evilly treated this people? Even he missed it. Why is it that you sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and neither have you delivered your people at all. Guess what? They didn't know the love.
They missed it.
The love of God is busy manifesting right in front of them, and they didn't see it. We're talking about God is love. I'll tell you what, if this was a normal person, and they sent someone, get those people free, and they turned like that on this guy that he sent down there, I tell you what, the boss man would have said, "Oh, are you talking to me like that? Well, you can just stay there. I'm not going to set you free." Then, Exodus 14, chapter 14, verse 10 to 12. They saw Pharaoh draw near. This was when they were on the run. They were coming down to the Red Sea. And God said, because they were afraid, they saw Pharaoh. And they said, because there were no graves in Egypt, you decided to bring us into the wilderness just so that we can die. Didn't we tell you back in Egypt to leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians?
Wow.
And I was just going to quote, you know, just the highlights. And the Lord spoke to me last night and he said, "Tell them what I did." I said, "Okay." So yeah, God parted the Red Sea for them and they walked on dry land.
Yeah. Whew.
They didn't believe the love that God had for them. Exodus 15, verse 22 to 25. They complained against Moses about the lack of water. You know what God did? Purified the water for them. They didn't believe the love that God had for them. All this while, they're complaining, complaining, complaining. They even forgot what God did for them in Egypt with the plagues and how they were spared from the frogs and the lice and the darkness. They had light in the land of Goshen. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1 to 3. They complained again and said, "Why didn't God let us die in Egypt?" Well, God didn't want you to die. That's where we had flesh pots, you know, that's talking about meat. And we had bread to the full, and you brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. God rained down the bread from heaven. They didn't believe the love that God had for them. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 to 4. They spoke angrily with Moses and complained about the lack of water and said, "Did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" God told Moses, "Go and strike a rock with your staff." And they had sufficient water for them, their children, and all their cattle. They did not believe the love that God had for them. At this point, someone might say, "Well, if God knew they were going to do all that, why didn't he just do it ahead of time so, you know, they don't complain?" What did Jesus tell us in the New Covenant? He said, just ask, and guess what? You'll receive. God doesn't like complaining. Exodus 32, verse 7 to 10, and verse 19 and 20. They made themselves a golden calf and gave the glory to a statue that they made by saying, "It was this calf that delivered us out of Egypt."
Beyond the logic of the world.
And I wrote here, despite everything God did for them, they still didn't believe the love that God had for them. And at this point, he's still leading them. They're still moving. And he's hearing their complaints. Yeah, there were times where he said, "Moses, get out the way. I'm going to wipe these boys out in a hot minute."
That's why he chose Moses, because Moses would fight for
Absolutely. Him. Absolutely. Go to Numbers chapter 11. Now, we are moving up in the book. So this is not one complaint. This is not one form of sin. I mean, I just want you to see how serious this is. And I want you to see this is God as love. Not that he has love, he is love. That's what makes him. He still hasn't thrown in the towel. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, a lot of people would have thrown in the towel by now.
God kind of loved that.
See why it's not based on emotion?
Yeah. Because if it was based on emotion, it would have rained down hell.
Yeah.
And
this is based on faith. Numbers chapter 11, and we can you can look at verse 1-6. They wept and said, "Who will give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt. We had cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlics." Well, garlic. "And all we have now is this manna." Let's see what God did. God gave them so much quail. The scripture says it measured 2 cubits high. Now, I looked in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. You know how much 1 cubit is? From the base of your elbow all the way here to the tip of your finger. That's 1 cubit. The quail was 2 cubits high. So what's that? They didn't believe the love that God had for them. Numbers 13, verses 30-33 and 14, chapter 14, verse 1-11. This is the story of the children of Israel. They finally came to the promised land. And I think it was about 2 years at this point. Right, Francois? So God tells Moses, go and send spies into the land. So they went and spied out the land. And they saw, man, it's good. This was a land that God actually gave to them, no strings attached. I mean, it had everything. He says, I'm giving you cities with houses that you didn't even build. He says, pomegranate trees, figs, grapes, yeah. The lot. He says, there's water there. I mean, everything. So they go in and they spy out the land. Moses gave instruction and he said, I'm sending in 10 spies. The spies that went in the land, they came back after 40 days. They said, the land really is beautiful. It's exactly what God said. Oh, amazing. Wow. God kept his word. But they said, you know what? We are not able to take it. Whoever thought of this? This is crazy. Have you seen those people? There's giants in the land. And I'm sad to say, but we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. It must have been a saying back in those days because no one says that anymore. But we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. You know what God called that?
Evil.
He called it an evil report. They didn't believe the love. Numbers chapter 16.
Can I just add something?
Yeah.
So out of the 10, 2 of them came back with a good report.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting how in the body of Christ, 2 out of 10 are the ones who fully believe what God says and will go in and be ready to possess the land. They see what God sees. While the other 8, they see the problems, the things they had, and they miss God.
And you know what that is actually rooted in? That's a very good point that you brought up there, by the way.
Thank you.
It's rooted in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this life, there's no gray areas. You only get faith, and you only get fear. And right now, you are on one of those sides. And when you come up against a situation, you say, no, this is impossible. That's fear. say, this can't be done. You start panicking. That's fear. Guess what? Their fear, not God, God gave them the land, said, that's yours. And as a matter of fact, if they only knew, there was a little town there called the town of the palm trees, the city of the palm trees, that was Jericho. By the next generation, when they went in there, they spoke to a lady, Rahab. You know what she said? She said, we heard what your God did for you when you crossed the Red Sea. And everyone here in this town, their heart is already faint. He said, their hearts are melted like water. So guess what? God prepared their enemy for them. And what did they say? Oh, no, there's giants in the land. We can't take it. So you know what happened? God got cross and he punished them. He said, for the 40 days that you were spying out the land and you come back with this evil report, each day you will have to bear the punishment of a full year in the wilderness. And so they had to walk around for 40 years because in those days, see, Jesus hadn't come yet. So you pay for your sin. You take out the credit card, and guess what? There's no limit on it. You must pay. And sometimes you pay with your life. Sometimes you pay with sickness. Sometimes you pay with war. Sometimes you pay with destruction. But they had to pay for that. 40 years, and their enemies were already going to just give it to them. What has God told you? What vision has he put in your heart? And you looking and saying, can't be done. It's impossible. How am I going to do this? God's already prepared your enemies. Mm-hmm. They've heard of the God that you serve. Those devils will bow down. Numbers chapter 16. And then we're going to have to end here. In Numbers chapter 16, Korah, he's a Levite. This was the Levitical priesthood. They were the ones that surrounded the tabernacle. And God said, that you're going to act like a buffer between me and the children of Israel. And this guy, he's shocking for Moses' position. Same family. And he got 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, well known, to side with him. And he pushed God to the limits. And the ground opened up and swallowed him, and swallowed Dathan and Abiram. And then a fire came out and consumed the other 250 men. And you know what happened the next day? The assembly got even worse. They went and they screamed and cried and said, they blame Moses for that. They complained against Moses and Aaron and said that you killed the people of the Lord. And guess what? The glory of the Lord appeared and a cloud covered it. Now that, when the glory appears under the old covenant, you run. That's some scary stuff. Because you know what happened right there? A plague broke out. And 14,700 people died that day. Did they learn their lesson? Of course not. At this point, did God toss them to the curb?
No.
Of course not. They didn't believe the love.
And they are still his chosen people today.
He's still with them. After all of that, that they put him through. We're going to have to end on that. Let's close off in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for your precious written word. Thank you. By your Spirit, you reveal to us your faithfulness, your long suffering with us. Lord, let this word be a lesson to us this evening. Help us to not make the same mistakes. Help us to see that you are love, that you don't have love, but you actually genuinely love us. And we thank you for this service tonight, Lord. Thank you that the word will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing whereto we send it. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey everyone, if you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.